Well, we are in a series called Thanksgiving and looking at what it means to be living lives of thanksgiving and praise. And so we're going to be in the book of Colossians today in chapter 3 if you want to kind of work at finding that as we kind of introduce the topic. Because what we've been doing these past couple weeks is just a short series is kind of looking at these passages about thanksgiving and what it means to lead a life of thanksgiving and some of the maybe often neglected components of that. Like last week we talked about encouragement, how encouragement puts in motion a chain of good events, everything from how it promotes unity in the church, how it helps people to see potential in themselves that they might not otherwise see. We looked at how the scriptures teach us that encouragement ultimately can be a form of protection, that it can keep us from lies, from believing things that are untrue. Well, today we're going to look at something that you may not have thought about for a while. At least I hadn't until, again, just kind of came back to this passage and went, oh, that's right. This is an important part of what it means to lead a life of thanksgiving. So I get to talk for a few minutes on what's probably my favorite topic. Okay, so it's sort of my pet one. And it's on music. So this is, I've been looking forward to this. It's kind of fun. Because music, it expresses emotion. Let me illustrate, okay? All right. So who here was in high school sometime in the 90s? Okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to get there. So you probably have some memories associated with certain songs. You know, maybe even some favorable ones. Like, who can fill in the blank here? Can't touch this. Okay. So, or if you, like me, were in high school in the 80s, come on. There we go. See, we know we had the good music, didn't we? We had the really good songs. And so when I hear things like this song, this one takes me right back to like being a freshman and at one of the school dances. Mess it up. Remember that one? I'm just imagining, I'm remembering myself as, you know, you wearing jeans that were probably unhealthy. You remember that? Or I'd been growing out my mullet all summer. And I had this really cool thin leather tie. And I was at my first school dance. And I looked across the gym, and there she was, underneath a big pile of hairspray. And I was thinking, she's just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Now, even though I grew up in a town with 4 stoplights, I'm just a city boy. And I'm just making all these plans. I'm having a good day because my acne's under control. All right. And so we go over and I ask her to dance. And she says, yes. And so I don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Remember, it just takes you back, doesn't it? Some of you are just having a moment right now, aren't you? Now, some of you, though, you went to high school in the 70s. And so you don't think too highly of the 80s because the men wore their hair too long and they sang too high. But if you hear something like this. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys drinking whiskey and rye, they're singing. That's right. Be the day that I die. And so you hear a song like that makes you want to take out a lighter and protest something, doesn't it? You know, because it brings back all these memories, because music expresses emotion. It carries us to different places. Who here was in high school in the 60s? All right. So you might feel a little bit sentimental about stuff like this, because I guess you'd say, what can make me
just where you know it. That's right. That's right. Some of you went to high school in the 50s. And so you might feel a little bit sentimental about stuff like this. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Right? Takes you back. You want to keep singing that, don't you? Crying all the time. You ain't never calling rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Right? Right. Or at least here's one of my theories, is that we tend to like the styles of music that were part of our life at really significant moments. Like, that's why, because I grew up on 80s, rock and roll, Coliseum rock. When I hear worship songs that are kind of in that style, I'm a sucker for anthems. I just love big, soaring anthems. But some of you, maybe you it was folk songs. And so it's those campfire songs and those acoustic guitar or soft, and that's what stirs your heart. The other point in life where I think where we tend to lock into songs that the Lord really uses is if you remember some of the songs when you first came to Christ. Like for me, I came to Christ, I was 13 years old and just in the 80s. And so maybe you remember this song? Yeah. That purify my heart, let me be as gold or precious silver, purify my heart. And I've got all these great memories about songs like that. We sang them in, youth group and in small groups and stuff like that. And then the first summer I went to camp, this was the big song. And this was a really significant time in my life of just yielding the direction of my life to the Lord. And so I remember singing this song. That shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. And I literally sang that song until I couldn't even talk. I start welling up. I start thinking about those moments. Music has this incredible ability to take us back to those places. I've heard a lot of stories in the congregation, so I know a song like this. When I survey the wondrous cross. That was a song that for a number of you, that was a song that's when you first gave your heart to the Lord. Or how if we sing songs like, God sent his son. Or I'm in the wrong key. Sent his son. They called him Jesus. And that's those old Gaither songs that just, they touch a part of your heart that other songs kind of don't. They're just part of your musical legacy. Music, it expresses emotion and it just connects to who we are on this really deep level, which is why this passage we're going to be looking at is so important. And it's an issue of thanksgiving that we might not often think about. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 3. And I know that was a long intro, but I just wanted us to really experience a little bit of just how music can take us different places and help us to feel different emotions. And so Paul writes to the church in Colossus, this little congregation struggling with some big things, and he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, verse 15, since as members of what? One body. So last week we talked about how encouragement is one of these components of unity. And unity in the church doesn't mean that everybody thinks the same way or dresses the same way or listens to the same style of music or votes the same way. It's a sense of unity in that I am in it with you. We are in this together. I want you to thrive, and I'm going to assume that you want me to thrive in my faith. That's the core of unity, the sense of peace. We're going to do this together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be
thankful. In verse 16, and here's the one I really want us to spend some time with. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you, what? Teach and admonish. Now, admonish is like is another kind of word for encouragement. It's a way of building into each other's lives. Here's the potential. Here's what we could be. And it's the pep talk sort of thing. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. What's the next word? Through. Now, some of you have the NIV, the 1984 version of it, and that's what I was raised on. And I think the NIV, it says and it doesn't link the ideas, every other translation, I did a lot of work on that one this week. The ideas are linked. I think the NIV missed it a little bit there, but because it says this is the 2002, so the most current translation of the NIV. With all wisdom, the word is through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So this opens up a new category for us. I just want to think about this together. We teach and admonish one another through music. Music teaches us. Music teaches us. It encourages us. It's not the only form of teaching, but it's an important form of teaching. Jesus loves me, this I know. How's the rest go? For the Bible tells me. So now that's a biblical truth, and that's a hymn, a kid's hymn. And it's one that I'm glad that we sing. The reason why you know that is not because of the Bible, it's actually because of the song. It's because you heard that song and it got stuck in your system in a good way. We teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms. So in other words, we sing scripture, like the kids sang scripture. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Psalm 103. It also shows up in other psalms as well. It's funny how when scripture is set to music, we can memorize it. You ever experienced that? I have a hard time memorizing the Bible, but if I put a song to, like a scripture passage to music, I can remember anything. Almost any song lyrics, somehow they'll get in my brain and they'll stay there. So the Bible says do that. Also, hymns. Hymns are songs about God. So whether that's children's hymns, like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, or, you know, How Great Thou Art, all these, the classic hymns that tell us about God, our contemporary songs that teach us about who God is. Lord, you are mighty to save, so shine your light and let the whole world see. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. It triggers all these songs, right? Or songs from the Spirit, which as far as I understand, these are just songs that just kind of come out of spontaneous times with the Lord. Like, so, I mean, you don't have to be a good singer to sing to the Lord, but just express your heart. You know, Lord, I love you. That you sing love songs to Jesus, just in your own time with him. Stuff you make up. It's good to make up songs. It's good to sing them to the Lord. Remember that old song? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That may be a new one to some of you, but I mean, but these songs that just come out of a heart of gratitude. Have you done that recently? Think about that. It might be a new idea for you. But just you may want to roll up the car windows first, you know, if you're not like a singer, but, you know, or make certain no one's listening, but just say, yes, part of your prayer life to just try singing something to the Lord. Lord, thank you. And somehow music kind of expresses it on a heart level that other things maybe don't. It's another form of expression. So we sing all these different kinds of songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And now it's also interesting to me how there's diversity, isn't there? Like there's different kinds of songs. And now, this is maybe a personal thing, but I'm not at all convinced that there is a style of music that is better than the other. But I do hope that we take the content of our music very seriously. Here's another thought. You know, recorded music has only been around for about 150 years, maybe even a little less. I think the first, the wax phonographs was at the World Trade Show in 1890. Prior to having recorded music around, the only way that you could have music is either that you sing it or you're with somebody who's singing a song. So as we're singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other, it actually requires us to be with each other. And now all that's changed because of technology. And I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful for recordings and CDs and MP3s and all that great stuff. But it means that our world now is we are swimming in a sea of music. Every moment in life, it seems, has a soundtrack. If you went shopping anytime recently, especially Black Friday, you know, every retailer has planned the music that's going to be played in the store as you go into that store because the music sort of sets the mood for that store. So some stores have it louder and it's a little more current and it's, you know, because the store wants to kind of put across the image that it's trendy. A lot of songs are playing Christmas music because statistics show that if you're hearing Christmas music, you spend more money. And it's their job to sell you stuff. We're surrounded by music all the time, every day. And for many of us, it's actually more of a personalized experience. You listen to it in the car, you listen to it on headphones while you're walking, while you're jogging, and that's good. But what I hope we'll be thinking about as we, you know, this new category, or maybe this category you haven't thought about in a while, music teaches. Music teaches. It admonishes. In other words, music shapes your life. So how is the music in your life shaping you? Now the pastor is about to pry, so fasten your seatbelt. Okay. If somebody walked into your home, and let's say you have, like we have young children in the home. Let's say, imagine you have children. If somebody walked into your home and they started singing a song about how great it is to commit adultery. And then another person comes into your home and talks about how we like to focus on certain parts of a female because females are objects. And when they please us, we keep them around. And when they don't, we get rid of them. You probably wouldn't think very much of that person, would you? You'd be very upset with them. Why are you coming over to my house and singing about this or talking about this with my children? But we let people like that into our house all the time. The only difference is they're not there physically. The voices are in. So, and I'm not picking on a particular style of music necessarily. But be thinking about what are the songs in your life teaching you? What are they teaching your grandchildren? What are they teaching your children? The media in your life. What is it teaching your heart? What is it teaching your children? Because music always teaches. What's your music teaching? What's it expressing? How's it shaping your life? All right, are you feeling meddled with yet? Because for some of us, if we hear the scriptures and we go, you know, that's a big deal, and I really want to live a life of thanksgiving, I want to be faithful to Jesus, your faith step today might be to do some damage to your iTunes account. There might be some songs that really don't deserve to be in your brain. There's enough music out there that you can't control whether or not it comes into your life. So think about the music that you can control. There might be some CDs in your CD collection that ought not be there. And I'm not, please don't hear me saying it's got to be Christian music or it's not good, or, you know, it's got to have a certain number of Jesuses per minute or it's not, you know, like really. I'm saying, and each of us, I think the way we respond to this is going to be a little different, but I hope we will think very critically about the music that we let into our life. Think about the person that you want to be, and is that music helping you become the person that you want to be? Like, let's go back to that verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish another with each or one another with all wisdom. So wisdom is when the Bible's talking about ways of living right, of living well, of living better. Like, we want our kids to make wise decisions and not foolish decisions. We pray for wisdom with our businesses. We pray for wisdom in our parenting. And it says, all wisdom through songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So music, good music, can lead us in the way of wisdom. It can help build our lives up and help us to make better decisions. Who do you want to be? What kind of a life do you want to live? What kind of a legacy do you want to leave for those who follow in your footsteps? And what music, what content of music can help that to happen? Think about that. Now, some of you are getting uncomfortable. Let me push a little bit more. Okay, it's almost over. So let me just get really concrete. If you've got music on your playlist that objectifies women, that calls women bitches, hoes, or that fixates on just get it off your playlist. Especially if you're a Christian man, get it off your playlist. Okay? Because that's not going to build you up. It's not going to build you up. It's not going to turn you into the person that you want to be. And you don't want your kids listening to it either. Or the people that whose lives are affected by you. Some of you, I know I used a naughty word in church, and I apologize for that. But I just wanted to be really, really clear and really, really blunt, because we hear a lot of it. We hear a lot of it. And all music teaches us. All of it shapes who we are. So how is it shaping you? Let's keep reading. Some of you are like, whew, okay, all right. You can unfasten your seatbelt. We're good. Okay, we're going to bring it in for a soft landing now. You're okay? Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One of the things this passage teaches us is that as we admonish and teach each other with good music, it means in every moment of every day we can say, God, you're with me in it. I think that's one of the great things about modern media, is you can carry songs with you that help your heart to stay in the places that you want to stay, that helps your head to be focused and oriented on the things that you want it to be focused and oriented on. So that every moment you can be driving to work and the music around you reminds you of the goodness of God, the mission and the call of God, the things that matter to God. It can remind you of that. And so that every moment of every day, your business, your workplace, your cubicle, your jog, you can do things with that. Thanks to media and thanks to music that help your life do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. You want your life to be overflowing with thanksgiving? Be mindful, among other things, of the music that you play, of what you play, and how it shapes you, and how it shapes the people around you. I think it's also important, and let me just go on a teeny little bunny trail, because this is the one piece that I'm probably most passionate about. Just in my own life, is how do our songs shape us? What is our music expressing? When we come into worship, we do something that's kind of unusual. We don't really do it in any other social context. We all get together and we all, sing. And I realize some of you are like, oh, I'm too cool to sing, or you don't really like to sing. I understand that. That's okay. You know, or you're nervous about singing because maybe you didn't really grow up singing, and that's okay. And maybe even some of the people around you are thanking you that you're singing quietly or just kind of mumbling the words. That's all right. It's all right. But we still do something absolutely unique in a worship context. We put words in each other's mouths. The songs that we sing, we put words in each other's mouths. Oh my goodness. One of the things I do, sort of as a side passion area of ministry, is I I raise up worship leaders and I train songwriters. I'm getting ready this spring to be teaching a course back at my alma mater on that, on songwriting. The words that we sing in church, they matter tremendously. You know, and just like the Bible has all these different types of songs and ways that it expresses itself to God, we need to be mindful of that as we write and sing songs. Are these songs true, for one? Are these songs biblical? Are these songs helpful? Are they necessary? Or even things like, if every song we sing is about me, you know, me and Jesus, just, you know, actually, most of the songs we sang today were we songs. But so even if something as simple as the one we just did, purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. And it's valid to sing songs like that. The Psalms are filled with people just expressing themselves to the Lord. But you know, if those are the only songs we sing, there's a pretty good chance that with time, those songs will shape us to make us think that our entire walk with God is only about me and Jesus and has nothing to do with all you people. You're just extras, because it's really about me and the Lord. And I'm right with the Lord. And so, well, even if you're hurting, well, it stinks to be you, because me and Jesus are wonderful. And that's not really the case. I mean, think of all these songs that even the passage we just read. To one another. So the majority of the songs that we sing in worship are songs that use the first person plural, we. We. Our. That we promote unity. One of the reasons why our church, I believe, we do so much with community service is because we sing a lot of songs about how God wants lost people found and hurting people helped. One of the advantages of being a songwriting pastor is that's an issue for me that is very important that I think is sometimes neglected in the church. It's not just about how I feel about my relationship with the Lord. It's how does my relationship with the Lord affect how I live? And how does it affect the people that God has already said he is most concerned with? The lost and the least. The marginalized. And those who don't yet know Christ. And so we sing a lot of songs about that. I'm glad we do, because I think it shapes how we live. What is our music expressing? So pray for our musicians and pray for those that are planning worship. It's actually kind of a big deal. We want to do that well, because when we lead worship well, when we plan worship well, it brings us together. Excuse me. It's one of the reasons why we actually encourage people to share song requests in church so we can sing each other's songs. Where we are trying to not be just one point on the radio dial or a single style on a Sunday morning, because we're a very diverse body. And we want to sing songs that bring us together, that tell each other's stories. So we try to do that. I don't know that we always hit that target, but we work at it. Because our songs, they shape us. Pray for our worship leaders. Pray for the songwriters and the next generation of songwriters. Because the songwriters of a culture shape culture. They're doing that in the greater culture at large, and they certainly do that within the church. Pray that God would raise up really great songwriters so that the next generation, because every generation writes their own songs. Every generation's got their own style. That's why I know that music from the 80s is superior to everything else. Because we all like our stuff. We all like our stuff. Some of you are clapping. Like, I don't even know why. All right. I'm being sarcastic there. Every generation has its own music. Let's pray that the next generation of songwriters do a great job. So that the church grows deeper in its walk with the Lord. So that lost people are found and hurting people are helped. And we leave the church in better shape than we found it. When we leave this world, now, however many years we have left on it, that the next generation would be drawn into a deeper walk with the Lord, in part because of the music that we sing and the music that we write. So thanks for humoring me with that little bit. But let's just land it back with Just some self-reflection. What does this passage have to say to you today about your music, about our music? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for music. Oh, I love it. Thank you that we're a musical church that loves the creative arts. And thank you for the gift that music is. How it's intended to teach us and to admonish us and to build us up, to make the good days great, to help us to be able to express sometimes grief and anger and sadness in ways that words alone can't do. So Lord, please give us wisdom. I've pushed a little bit. I've meddled a little bit. And God, I pray that we would take it to heart, that we would be very mindful about the music that we listen to, especially the music that we encourage and bring into our homes, our cars, in the ears of our children and our grandchildren. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, we pray for the musicians in our church. We thank you for them. They serve some pretty long hours trying to learn songs and do them well. Lord, thank you for the gift that it is to join together in songs, to put words in each other's mouths. Lord, may those words build each other up. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's just new in their walk with you, that maybe the songs that they hear today would lodge in their hearts. Actually, I pray that for everyone. That the songs that we sing would just shape how we live, that would give us a sense of hope and give our lives a sense of purpose and clarity. Thank you so much for that gift. Lord, help us to use it well. And Lord, may our lives, in everything that we say and do, that we would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And may you be honored through all of it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen.